Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Fun.
We continue with the CEO of Vikings Futsal, Alastair Miller. In this particular segment of the interview, we're talking about something that should interest us all. The Vikings Futsal business model. How they generally go about doing their business. Now, we don't go right into the nuts and bolts, but we get some of the key principles. Keeping all the money in the game for the development of the game. And very importantly, owning your own facilities. Creating, building, establishing futsal centres where you can underwrite the training of all the teams and provide the venue unencumbered by other commitments so that futsal does not endure the chronic infrastructure problems with regard to playing services presently hamstrings football and futsal here in the ACT. This is the way to go. We don't need to be another Vikings futsal here at the ACT, but we do need to pick up their operating principles. It's plain common sense. Let's have one big futsal and football hub here in the ACT. So let's just hear what Alastair Miller has to say in regard to Vikings.
For the listener, we're talking to Alastair Miller, the CEO of Vikings Futsal. And if you don't know about Vikings Futsal, you really should take the time to find out. Alastair, we've discussed this massive scope of operations. Your business model that underpins this seems to be very, very trim and well-directed.
Well, I suppose when you say trim, you can rest assured we make some very bad decisions spending money.
Oh, you're normal then.
That's dead right. And we make the normal bad business decisions that any other organisation makes, and touch wood, we make the same good business decisions that other organisations make. So I wouldn't say we're exactly trim, but being a sport, you have to be trim.
You do.
People have an issue with sports making money.
Yeah, they do.
It's an amazing world. We sell shoes and balls through our marketing arm, and without fail, everybody questions the prices, and yet they're quite happy to walk into Amart or Rebel and pay double the price. But because we're a sport, it's this image that's supposed to be free or as cheap as possible.
You said to me once before, and it's stuck in my mind, that you try and capture every dollar in the futsal game.
Yes, we do.
And,
yep.
And return it back to the game. Is that a fair summary of what you said to me once?
My attitude is this, that every dollar that's spent in the sport of futsal, if you can turn that around to be put back in the development of futsal, that's where it belongs.
Mm.
So as an example, rather than go to the travel agent down the road and organise a tour to Brazil for a football tournament or a futsal tournament, if you come to Vikings to organise that tour, you know that any profits made are going to go back into developing futsal. Whereas if you go to the travel agent down the road, it could go into paying off his mansion in Vaucluse. You know, you don't know. and it's the same with shoes and balls. You buy it at Rebel or Amart, sure, the profit goes to Rebel or Amart. You buy it with us, the profit goes back into developing the sport. So we do try and capture every dollar. So we run our own tournaments, we run our own clubs, we run our own merchandising, we have our own online shops, we run our own international tours. We try and encompass the whole sport. We run our own coaching clinics, we now have our own academies. So we try and capture as much of the dollar as possible so then we can put it back into the sport.
The other thing that you've said in terms of your business model is the creation of these centres. You target a particular area that is demanding futsal, and you set up a centre, and you actually take over or create infrastructure, don't you?
Yeah, so if you take where I am now, we were approached about putting in a two-court outdoor facility in Coffs Harbour. Court time in Coffs Harbour, all we could get was, I think it was 3 hours at the local basketball centre on a Monday afternoon.
Oh, sounds like Canberra, yeah.
So there was a market there to put a facility in. So we've put the facility in, and now we're in the process of doing the logistics, i.e. who's our market, how do we get to them, how do we get people playing the game. End of the day, sport in this area is big, football in this area is big. So, yes, we've now set the centre up, and now we're in the process of marketing to get the comps going.
And Alistair, it seems to me that unless you do something about creating the facilities infrastructure for the sport, you just can't get ahead. Not easily, anyway.
That's totally correct. And if you take in Melbourne, for instance, we struggle with court time because of particularly basketball.
Yes.
You mentioned in Canberra. One of the issues we have in Melbourne all the time, and I have to say I'm always looking for my own facility there, is basketball gets priority no matter what.
Yep.
So, therefore, we have about 10 centres in the east of Melbourne that only operate on a Friday night. Because it's the only night we can get.
Yeah.
But even with that, if the local basketball club decides they want to shoot hoops for the night...
They bounce you, do they?
They bounce us. So, yeah, getting control of your own facility controls your destiny.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself a sport unless you stop being a gypsy. And I've been through the process of being what I call gypsies. And I mean by that, okay, you have Friday night every week at this centre, and then one in six Friday nights you get a phone call on 24 hours notice, this is on, that's on, you can't have it. So we don't have control over our own facility. So our own members, our own players, they're inconvenienced.
Yeah.
And therefore, in their own minds, they treat us as not a real sport, because we can't even provide a continuity of sport.
And that's an important connection, isn't it?
Oh, totally correct. And I explain to people, if I can just bring up an issue that I'm sure your listeners want to ask, why do Vikings and FFA run their nationals at the same time?
Yeah, they do ask that one.
Well, it's not a political thing to us, but the sad point is that that week of the year is really the only time when, A, you can fit your nationals in that doesn't affect other sport, but B, it's when basketball doesn't need those centres. If you go a week later, the basketball comps are restarting.
Oh, that's very interesting.
If you go a week earlier, you're still in Christmas time.
Yep.
Now, someone said to me the other day, why don't Vikings shift? I could have easily given the political answer and said, no, why don't FFA shift? But I fully understand that the timing gets down to the availability of courts.
Yep.
Sadly, in Canberra and in Sydney, basketball gets priority over futsal.
You've made the argument most eloquently for futsal needing to have its own dedicated facilities.
Correct.
I quite agree. I mean, if you want to be taken seriously, you really can't be a sporting gypsy, can you?
Well, you take this Coffs Harbour Centre. We haven't actually started comms here yet, but Monday afternoon here, there's a little group who come down with a coach, and they train from 4 till 5:30. They don't pay us any money. I'm not going to ask them for money.
Yeah.
Because they're just out there on the court training. And my attitude is, if that man there is willing to put his time in to train those children, I'm not going to inconvenience him by saying, oh, to use our facility, I want $2 a head or something.
Yeah.
Whereas if they play at night and they play in a competition, yes, fair enough, you pay. We have another group that come Tuesday. So by having your own facility, you're not just giving a facility to run competitions, get people playing and generate income, but you now have a facility where if, and I know you coach a team, Peter, if you rang me and said, I'd like to coach my team this week, I could say, okay, 8 o'clock Sunday morning, you can have it, and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you get there, there'll be a bag of balls there, and there'll be bibs there and markers there. Just put them away for me when you leave.
Oh, brilliant, mate.
Now, that's what the beauty of having your own facility does for the sport of futsal.
Correct. And that's the power of your business model. Everything's getting returned back to the game in every sense of the word.
Yep. But in this case, it's not just a case of being seen to make money out of the facility.
No.
Because we have this 24/7, if you want to... Well, you can train at midnight, it's a bad example, but if you want to coach your kids 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning before school, you can.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay for it, because as part of this club, this facility is here for you to train. And I love to encourage coaching, because if there's a person out there who wants to coach their kids how to play the game properly, I want to help them as best I can.
You've got the right idea. Absolutely. And it's the ability of ordinary community coaches to coach their little teams all around the place that hamstrings the development and progress of futsal everywhere, certainly here in the ACT.
Well, that's a problem everywhere. But once again, getting back to the original point, you can't do these things until you get your own facilities.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. I'd like to leave people with that notion that you want to get ahead, you've got to own your facilities. You can't be a gypsy.
That's correct. While you're a gypsy sport, you'll be treated as a gypsy sport by your own members.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.